What's going on, everybody? Pete Jensen, Rob Reese, back with you. NHL Fantasy on Ice on this Thursday, 2 days deep into the season. Some reaction here, some early ad drops. Robbie, we got a couple of our fantasy drafts done just in time for the start of the season. What's going on, buddy? And great to be with you.
What's up, Petey? Yeah, a couple drafts done. I'm only playing 3 leagues this year, so cut down from the 5 I was in. Last couple was too much, so I've got 3 to focus on. And I have to admit, I was already scouting out the Wyver this morning, Petey, so it's never too early to hit it.
Yeah, I chopped down my leagues as well from 5 a couple years ago to 4 last year and 3 this year. So I'm a little refined. I'm going to try to win all 3. Like the guy we're bringing on today, Dave Satriano, won all 4 last year. I think you downgraded to 3 as well, Davey, just so we could set all our lineups on any given day, right? It becomes a little challenging for us, but what's going on, Davey?
Yeah, Davey actually downgraded to 2. I'm only in 2 leagues, you know, 1 to 4 last year. I said 2, but you're right. I think 3 for me is the ideal number. 4 is a bit much. At least with 2, when there's guys that you like, you can pretty much probably get them in both leagues at the same time. 4 leagues was a little bit much because, you know, if you see a player, you got to go to every league and it's just too much. You have to have backup plans and backup and backup plans. So I'm in 2. 3 is the ideal, but we'll try to defend our titles this year.
Right. And one common thread with me, and it was predictable, right, Robbie, I think we have 5 Florida Panthers on our joint league team with the other experts in the industry. So we're excited about that, including the Panthers goalie tandem. And the common thread for me is that my other Yahoo League team has Spencer Knight and Jeremy Swayman. And most importantly right now, Ilya Sorokin, because Semyon Varlamov is going to start the season on IR. So now the platform is there, right, guys, for Sorokin, who was already ranked in our top 10 goalies before this Varlamov injury was more than day to day. But now it's getting really interesting here on the island.
It is. And I think it's really important at that position, specifically the goaltender one, that these early season trends actually do matter. A lot of the stuff with some early forwards and some team success, you can kind of throw out after a month. That's when things kind of get to normal in the National Hockey League. But for early goalies, Pete, you bring up a great point because Sorokin has a really good opportunity to keep the Islanders afloat on their 13-game road trip to start the season. If he plays well, I think Barry Trotz is going to give him the crease this year. So there's that. We saw Vitek Vanacek last night start over Ilya Samsonov for the Washington Capitals. Vitek played a really good game, even though we can talk about the Rangers looking a little flat later. And then stuff like that, you know, with Jake Allen playing all right too for the Habs. Like, it's really good to keep these tabs early, Davey.
Yeah, it is. First of all, going to the Islanders, you know, I feel like whichever Islander goalie is out there, and usually they used to split like literally one game. But now that Varley's hurt, not going to be the case early on. But I feel like right now, if he gets this thing, he might, like you said, he might be able to run with it and might even be a Vezina finalist, I guess. Definitely top 5. We know the Islanders system. They're both going to be right up there. Goals against, you know, save percentage, even shutouts. So I say early, even though they have that, 12 or 13 game road trip, which is going to be tough to start the season. I think this is going to be a good test for the rookie. And then Corey Schneider is the backup, which, you know, he has no fantasy relevance, even as a Devils fan, I can say that, but probably start a couple games on the trip if Varlamov's not ready. So, and I did like what I saw out of Allen. It was one game, but, you know, he's been a starter in the league before, probably going to be handling a bulk of the starts without Price. So that's something to monitor. And I was actually, I like Vanacek personally. I thought he should have been the starter last year. I think he played better rookie year. So I'm glad that they gave him the start. And personally, I don't have him in any of my 2 leagues, but I do hope that he gets the job because I think he's the better over Samsonov personally.
Right. He's certainly been more consistent so far in his NHL career, and it hasn't been close. And Vanacek was on our top 10 sleeper list for this year, but was not a name that any of us was gravitating towards. But of course, that Capitals offense, right, Robbie? I mean, great pick by you on the DFS picks, which you can find on NHL.com/fantasy bookmark. Each day you'll see the collaborative picks from me and Robbie and some of our correspondents throughout the season on the weekends. But I mean, it's a great pick. Hendrix Lapierre went in there first NHL game, one of a couple of guys yesterday on Wednesday that scored their first NHL goal. But really impressive display for him. And he's playing with TJ Oshie, right, Robbie?
Yeah, they formed great chemistry in the preseason. And all you need to know is just listen to Oshie talk about this kid. He's dynamic. He's fast. He's got good vision. He's got swagger. And people don't realize that he was the number one overall pick in the Q draft a few years ago. Other players that have done that, Nathan MacKinnon, Alex Lafreniere. Okay, so these are big name guys. The only reason LaPierre fell to the Capitals in their draft 2 years ago was because he had quote-unquote injury concerns. How many leagues does this happen in? NBA guys that slip in the draft that had injury concerns become superstars. NFL guys that have injury concerns become superstars. It happens in every single sport. And every GM is then asking themselves over the summer, why didn't we just draft this kid, right? So you're going to see that with Hendrix LaPierre. Kid's a complete stud. He's a gamer, Davey. And before we move ahead, I do just want to touch on two things history-wise last night. One, Alex Ovechkin scored two goals. He passed Marcel Dion for fifth overall on the NHL goal list. It was incredible to see that because Wayne Gretzky was on the interview last night after the game. And then Peter Laviolette became the most winning coach American-born history there. So a little U.S. hockey trend as well.
I'm just going to say those are two great things that happened, you know, second night of the season. I do like Hendricks. I personally like Connor McMichael better. I think he's going to be the better of the two. But just a little shout-out to our colleague, Tom Galitti, who said that the coach, Capitals coach, says, Laviolette, hey, I want Hendricks to get some experience and let him play with TJ Oshie and these veterans. And he coined that line, the Hendricks experience line. So I think that one might stick.
Nice. And yeah, the Capitals are obviously one of the safest teams, regular season speaking. So any top six or even top nine exposure, they got Lars Eller playing on the second line with Mantha. And then they got another second line caliber unit with LaPierre and TJ Oshie. So really nice loaded forward group as per usual for the Caps. One other rookie that lit it up yesterday by surprise a little bit. He was a top five pick in the 2021 draft, Mason McTavish for the Anaheim Ducks. And they kicked around Hellebuck and the Winnipeg Jets last night. How about that? That was a bit of a surprise. That's the biggest surprise of any game so far. And I think, Robbie, right, we shifted our focus for our first pickup. We picked up McTavish, who's center only. We need him in our joint league. We were originally going to pick up Sillinger, who's playing on the top line for the Columbus Blue Jackets. Two weak teams, you could say, but I think the loaded group of young players in Anaheim with McTavish and Drysdale, and of course, last but not least, Trevor Zegras, really could have that team on the up and up very quickly.
Yeah, I like McTavish a lot, and go back to what I said about Hendrix LaPierre, who I think has the best name in hockey now, Davey. For Mason McTavish, like, he just looks like a player. You know what I mean? Like, you have that swagger, you have that confidence that you need to play and stay at the NHL level. And he did it right away. 18-year-old kid, phenomenal to see him pick up 2 points in his first game. And Petey, he might get dual eligibility if he doesn't take many draws this year and plays on the left side or right side. So look for that trend too. And this Ducks team, I think you said it pre-show, is going to be a lot better, I think, or more competitive than people think. And Bob said, our producer before the show, if you have John Gibson, you're going to stay in games. Both those things are accurate facts, no lies detected. For Anaheim, again, not going to get too high on this team. Don't want to just, you know, gloat over one game here. Winnipeg, obviously, without number one center Mark Scheifele, so the jury still out on that team. Okay, we can't write them off just yet. But I do think, Davey, it was nice to see these young guys get going and get on their score sheet in their first NHL games.
I would love to see the Ducks make the playoffs. I really would. But the last few years, they're just always the lowest or second lowest team in scoring. Last year, Max Comtois led them in points, 33 in 56 games. And the year before too, they don't, their highest scorers just don't score. So it was great to see. Hopefully McTavish and Zegras can, you know, kind of bring some offense to this team. But one game in, first game of the season, you know, everyone kind of wakes up for that. So I'm going to put it as a little bit of an overreaction. I hope McTavish produces. He's still on my watch list. I didn't want to pick him up after one game, but the Ducks, I got to see a few games from them before I, you know, before I'm on board. But you're right, Gibson, it's tough with him. He's one of the best goalies, but just he doesn't get the support. So it's kind of hard to have him when you know you're not going to get wins and shutouts likely. So the Ducks, I hope they're, you know, I like when the Ducks, Sharks, Kings, those teams do well, but it just seems like the Ducks are, to me, they're not going to make the playoffs in that division. It's tough, but I'd love to see them improve on, you know, last year.
They'll definitely be improved, but yeah, they're going to be in that mix of teams, maybe even beneath teams like the LA Kings and the Flames and the Seattle Kraken, who looked pretty good in their first ever game on Tuesday night, coming back to tie the Golden Knights and then dropping the game. But Seattle, I think, made a good impression on all of us that they can be a competitive team. They could be a resilient team. And, you know, they were playing well early in that game, but they, you know, it didn't show up on the score sheet, and they battled back, and they actually had some of those guys in the lineup that we thought might miss the game, namely Jared McCann, who scored a goal. Nice to see him deliver after some people took him as a deep sleeper. What were your guys' first impressions of the Kraken, and did they show you anything that you think has staying power?
They didn't show me much. I mean, Vegas is a pretty, I don't want to use the word arrogant, but they are a pretty skilled team. And when you get up 3-0 and you've got guys like Pacioretty, who's a world-class player, you have guys like Mark Stone, who is one of the best right wings in the NHL. You get up to a 3-0 lead. You go out and play 18 holes on the country club. You check out. You can criticize me for saying that all you want, but these are what the big teams do. These are what the big dogs do. They get up, they do their job, and then the opponent fights back. And give credit to Seattle. I think Dave Haxtell made some good adjustments. Look at the ice time for those guys. It was pretty well balanced, which is probably what you want to see, except I think Bastian played like 5 minutes. I think he had like 3 shifts or something. So that one was the only outlier. But, you know, give credit where credit's due. I think Seattle performed admirably. But the one thing that stood out to me in that game, gentlemen, was Chandler Stephenson. If he's still available in your league, you got to pick him up. Pacioretty, Stephenson, Stone is a premier line. Stephenson, you got to give him a little bit of compliments here too, because yes, he's not a 60-point guy, but he's going to get at least 50 playing on that line if it sticks.
Yeah, and listeners have heard that before. Go pick up Chandler Stephenson. What I learned about the Kraken is what I thought going into the season, and is one of my best bets. The Kraken are not making the playoffs. I'm sticking with that. I think the price is out of whack. Pete, you brought it up when we had Leboff on. They're not going to make the playoffs. They may fight, be in some games, be competitive. Don't see them making the playoffs, Davey.
One game and you're already off the bench. One game. You saw.
I never was
game.
On the bandwagon, Davey. I never thought they were going to make the playoffs. So I can't get off if I'm never on. And I continue to maintain they're not going to make the playoffs. And at that price, you know, I think it's a little bit of a trap. So I jumped on it. One of the best bets preseason. I'm sticking with it, Davey.
I just think with the way the Sharks, Kings, and Ducks play, the Kraken could definitely finish above those three. So at that point, there's just one more team, you know, pretty much to jump to get in. I agree with Rob here. You know, the first 10 minutes of the game, they looked like a peewee team. They were just out of whack. Vegas was all over them. They were down, 2-0 by that point. And then, you know, they sat back. You know, Seattle scored a couple goals. I agree with Pete on McCann. You know, I had put him on my IR slot, and then like an hour before the game, they said, you know, he's not in COVID protocol. Now he's going to play. So quickly got him into the lineup, which nice to see him get a goal. I think the first line for the Kraken will be valuable as long as they stay together. We don't know what Haxtell will do with the lines, but at least for the first couple of weeks, those three should be together. So, and I actually think Grubauer, you know, the way he played, you can't blame everything on him. A couple of those were not great, but I have Driedger in one of my leagues, and I know they signed Grubauer to that huge contract, but I wouldn't be surprised, guys, if this was like ends up being a 50-50 split or even 60-40 personally, especially with the way we saw Driedger play last season too.
Right. And Robbie and I talked about it on the network show. They may have been two of the biggest names moved in the offseason, but the idea of fading Grubauer and fading Marc-Andre Fleury was probably a good idea. I know it's still early. Those guys won't be playing the Avalanche or the Golden Knights every single night, so they should fare a little bit better. That's one thing against, I guess, what Bobby's saying. Like, I was actually encouraged by how they played against Vegas, which lends me to believe when they play teams like Anaheim and LA and Calgary and other teams around the league, they might actually have a good chance. So I actually liked what I saw based on my expectations that they weren't going to make the playoffs. And then, yeah, one thing to add about Chandler Stephenson in Yahoo Fantasy Leagues, he's dual eligible center left wing coming off that multi-point game, one goal, one assist. So yeah, full marks on him. And for Vegas, it's like they just keep him on that line. Whether he's scoring or not, he's always up there. So as much as you want to, dig deep and say, oh, Krebs could play up there, or somebody, they could put Wild Bill up there. Not so fast. I think they pretty much stick with Stevenson through thick and thin, and they didn't address center in the offseason, right? At least not yet. They didn't trade for Jack Eichel or anything. So Stevenson's their 1C. So it's a lock for a late, deep waiver wire pickup.
Yeah, that's as close to a lock as you'll get early on here. But I do think there were two trends that I noticed that will stick throughout the season. From the first games, we saw, you know, Seth Jones play close to 30 minutes against the Avalanche. This is coming to no surprise to anyone, but the Blackhawks are a little bit inept defensively. So Seth Jones is going to be leaned upon so heavily there. So keep an eye on that storyline. I'm not ready to write off Marc-Andre Fleury this season. You know, you go on the road in Colorado, it's a tough opening game, no question about it, with or without Mac in the lineup. But I do think, you know, I think it was someone on the TNT broadcast said pregame, just that this team has so much pedigree. I think it was Wayne Gretzky, actually. So, you know, the Stanley Cup thing is still there. There should be a favorite in the West still, just from that alone. So don't write them off yet. I think the jury's still out on Marc-Andre Fleury. But the thing that I think is really stuck with me after the first game, the New York Rangers, in a league where there was a huge cultural shift about 5 or 6 seasons ago, getting younger, getting faster, getting lighter and more skilled. This offseason, they chose to do the exact opposite. They got older, they got slower, they got heavier, and they got less skilled. And you saw that premier display in game one. Ryan Reeves, again, contributed nothing to the game besides getting put up on a squat rack by Nick Jensen. I think he had like 5 shifts total. Sammy Blais was in the box, 6 penalty minutes. Cap scored 3 power play goals. You cannot do that in the NHL. So, Petey, Davey, I am concerned a little bit about the Rangers. I think they'll hang around in wildcard contention. I'm not writing them off. I just think that this is going to go down in hindsight to be one of the worst off seasons on a young and upcoming team that we've ever seen in the NHL.
You know, I agree with you. Last year, up until the final week, what, or two of the season, right? They were right there for a wild card spot, or, you know, the division spot. And this season, the moves they made were just puzzling. I mean, you know, when you get rid of your coach, your GM, it's kind of like, a refresh, or we're going to start do things differently. And the direction they took, I was very confused. I mean, yeah, we need Ryan. We need a fighter because Tom Wilson, yada, yada, but that doesn't win you games. And the moves they made, you know, Buchnevich, I know there's a money thing, but I agree with you. We're going to see how they do the rest of the way here, but it's hard to think that after what we saw last night, that, you know, this team is improved and will have a shot at the playoffs this year.
And it's funny, one of the teams that they're going to have to beat out to make the playoffs, like, just went into Tampa and steamrolled the Lightning, the Penguins, without their 3 best players. Meanwhile, the Rangers, it seems like everything they touch right now is going wrong, right? They were leaning towards naming a captain. They didn't name a captain. It's kind of weird, right? They traded Buchnevich for very little in the hope of playing these younger guys in higher roles. And then before the start of the season, they're kind of banishing Kravtsov again. The guy's probably going to get traded because he doesn't want to report to the AHL. And then for the first of back-to-back games, we all expected Shesterkin, who's by the way, a top 5 fantasy goalie, but they went with Georgiev and he got lit up. And of course the defense still looks like it could be a liability. It is very young, but yeah, after one game, it's like so many negative storylines have already emerged and they've only played one game.
I liked the price on the Rangers last night. But imagine my face when I have one fantasy team that I take care of. I'm the caretaker all season long. I got Chesty, you know, as my number one goalie, and I go see Georgiev in between the pipes there on opening night. I mean, I'm fuming over that, still totally fuming over that. And I get it. They got a home game tonight, MSG. Chesty will get to start, but that was a head scratcher for me against the Capitals on the road.
Well, and Alex Ovechkin actually scored a shorthanded goal in the game. You want to go back to the word arrogant. Peter Laviolette, it was a 4-on-4 situation. He decided to put Kuznetsov out there at the end of the 4-on-4. And then as the Rangers went up a man, he put Ovi out there. Kuznetsov banked a pass off the end boards to Ovi on a breakaway, scored a shorthanded goal. And that was the icing on the cake. When Alex Ovechkin scores a shorthanded goal, which has happened how many times in history, Davey? Not many. You know, it was a bad loss. And I think the Rangers, yes, it's a good spot for them to bounce back on Thursday night. We should see Shesterkin in that game. Hopefully he shuts the door on Dallas and we can feel a little bit better about this New York Rangers team, who should be billed as a top 10 team, at least in fantasy terms. But yeah, going back to the Kratzov thing, Petey, you know, that's just a tough one, because this, I could totally see him going to another team and, you know, kind of being that 20 goal scorer right off the rip. So another thing that would be another nail in this Rangers dynasty here.
So five shorthanded goals out of his, what, 732? And the last was in 2009 before this. So you're right. When that happens, but yeah, just seeing that, it wasn't going to be their night. I agree, Bob, what you said about, you know, it's a home opener. They want you Shesterkin. But to me, the teams don't have to do this where they're not starting goalies on back-to-back nights. I mean, I know it's not 20 – goalies aren't going to play 70 games unless you're Vasilevsky perhaps. But there's nothing wrong with that. Opening night, set the tone. You start your guy, and then you see what he does. And then you see what he does. I mean – it's the opening game of the season. How do you not put your best goal, your best player, one of your best players out there, your goalie? To me, it was just that kind of set the tone right there.
I agree. And I would have started Igor, and the idea that a goaltender can't go two in a row. I mean, if Igor has a great night game one, run him back out there tonight. I mean, I don't want to harp on this too much, but I mean, sometimes you got to take the kid gloves off these players and just let them go. Let them play. Enough with the back-to-back stuff. I mean, it's opening night. Let's roll. But okay. I mean, I get it. It's bothersome though when you have one fantasy team and you want to see your boy Igor in goal, and that's what you get. But that's the way it is.
Petey, let's go back to the Blackhawks real quick, because the most dropped player is Tyler Johnson. It looks like the experiment might be over of him getting the Patrick Kane exposure. Do you think now that might be a little bit more appealing for Kirby Doc, you know, on the waiver wire for guys like that in Chicago, because that could be a positive to come out of that game, that line has been broken up now, and we might see Kirby Doc or somebody else get a shot alongside Kane.
I'm glad you mentioned Kirby Doc, because he was, I thought, far and away the best player on the Blackhawks last night. He had two breakaways, got robbed by Darcy Kemper, who, by the way, looked like totally elite yesterday, looked like he was playing in front of behind the best team of his life, which he certainly was, but even without McKinnon and a couple of injuries and stuff. But yeah, I was really impressed by Kemper. But yeah, Kirby Doc, two breakaways, five shots on goal, you know, probably going to score on a lot of other goalies with chances like that. So, and played big minutes as well, right? Kirby Doc played, 1859. So yeah, I mean, that's huge, especially for a guy that for some reason, even though he was on our breakout list, he was going so low in drafts. One draft I took him and he was like, I think it was outside the top 200. People were talking about that Tyler Johnson storyline. Robbie and I both knew it for sure that was not going to stick, and certainly don't think it will. So yeah. And then another couple takeaways from that Blackhawks Avalanche game, like Bowen Byram looks like he might make a much bigger impact than last year, scored his first goal. And with the defense kind of reloaded with Eric Johnson back in the mix, he scored a beautiful goal yesterday, and Devontae's out for the time being. So yeah, there's going to be a stage for Bowen Byram to maybe be that best rookie defenseman in the league this year.
I agree with you there, Byron. He did look great. I think, what was that, his first NHL goal, I believe, you know, last year. I think he had the injury and he didn't play as much, only a couple handful of games. But sticking with defense here, I have a guy that is available in 60% of my leagues. Pete, I know you love him. I'm wondering what your thoughts are on Erik Karlsson, because I saw Brent Burns go in the hundreds and Erik Karlsson didn't even get drafted in my two leagues. Here he is sitting here, and not that I need him right now, but I'm thinking he's Erik Karlsson. You know, I mean, I know he had a few down years, but is he done? Is he cooked? Is he officially done?
I'm a little off the sharks, like I know Robbie is. I mean, I think Burns has a better chance to bounce back than Karlsson. I think that they're probably, as much as they like Hurdle as a player, and there've been rumblings that maybe they might re-sign him, I do think Hurdle will probably get traded this year, and the wheels might fall off again, that team. So, you know, I was kind of, my last glimmer on Karlsson was last year when I had him in two different leagues, and it was the first year that he was healthy and he underperformed. So I'm a little down on Erik Karlsson, and I don't have any Sharks players. Maybe you would consider picking up Eklund, but I currently do not have any Sharks players on any of my fantasy teams. First time maybe ever that that's happened.
Yeah, and Davey, you know what's interesting about the Sharks is I saw Aiden Hill on a lot of people's rosters. Shout out to everybody that sent me their fantasy team on Twitter to rate. It was really successful. We had like 500 plus replies, I believe. So credit to you guys. A lot of really solid drafts in there. But I saw Aiden Hill on a lot of people's rosters. And I'm a pretty positive guy. I didn't want to say, you know, what are you doing with that? But I'll say this. It could be a storyline, guys, this year that Aiden Hill does somehow play really well. And we know the bar is low there from Martin Jones the past couple of seasons. But for Carlson specifically, I made the mistake of holding on to the name value for far too many seasons, Davey. I did the same thing with PK Subban too. I wasn't ready to admit that these guys are a little past their prime. I think it's a tough thing for fantasy managers, especially when you've had those guys on championship winning teams that, you know, okay, they've got one more year here, but I don't think that's the case for Carlson. I would defer back to Pete, who brought up Bowen Byram. He looked tremendous. I hope to see his ice time a little higher, and I'm trying to add him on a team, Pete, but I'm not ready to make any early moves yet. I still have a couple guys that have yet to play a game before I see if I should drop them. So hopefully Byram stays available, but if you're in a deep league, get this guy now. Avs exposure is the top in the NHL, especially considering they play without Nathan MacKinnon.
And Kadri was great as well, right? Filling in for MacKinnon. That was really encouraging to see for the Avalanche. Played 1849, had a goal and an assist, 5 shots. That's the Kadri. One hit usually covers that category as well. So, and even when Mac comes back, Kadri should be on power play one, should be on second line with Burakovsky. You know, I think this could be the redemption season. They were talking about it a lot on the broadcast. It was an underrated storyline last year. Remember the second that Kadri thing happened, we were talking about on the show, hey, you know, they're playing Vegas in the second round and you know that he's not going to be back till game 7. It was kind of that thing that was lurking in the background of the major storylines of that series at the time. And then eventually the next series, like, hey, they might be out before Kadri even comes back. They need Kadri to win the cup. There's no question about that. When Kadri was gone, all the focus for the opposing defense, a strong one in Vegas, was to limit and contain that top line. They were able to do so for a few games. It totally turned the tide. If you got a physical player like Kadri on the second line, holding down faceoffs, scoring points, then kicking it up a notch on the power play. I mean, Kadri is a very, very important player, as is Eric Johnson. Those are those two guys that I think could help the Avs get over the hump. But yeah, for Kadri, only 34% rostered in Yahoo League. So go out there and add him even after just the game. He'll jump, you know, 15, 20 spots in our rankings, pass a couple of guys that might be rostered in many leagues out there.
Yeah, and for Thursday night games, I do just want to tee up a few things I'm looking forward to, Davey. The first one is the Carolina Hurricanes. You know, they had a lot of criticism over the offseason for maybe not, you know, hanging on to some of their guys or not making serious moves. So I'm excited to see them take the ice. Tony DeAngelo has been a popular player in fantasy this year. You know, just for in a bounce back situation in multiple ways, I guess you could say, but predominantly because he's skating on the first power play. I was reading some press about him in the preseason that he looked really good. So we'll keep an eye on him. The second one is the Nashville Predators are taking on the Seattle Kraken. Nashville is a team that's probably on the downtrend, but I saw one of the most popular goalie picks in fantasy this year was UC Saros. So a lot of people have stock in that team. And then I think Eli Tolvanen up front, Davey, is a player that I was looking at his stats at the end of last season. He was great. If you play in bangers leagues, at least it count pims and hits. He's a really valuable player. So, you know, there might be a little glimmer of hope there for the Predators.
I think Tolvanen and Tomasino are probably the two younger guys on the Predators that people are, you know, thinking of adding. You're right about Saros. He's clearly the number one guy. David Rittich is the backup, but it's Saros' net. You know, last year or the last 2 years, he kind of took over for Pekka Rinne, and now it's his team. So I think through thick and thin, they're going to stick with this guy. We saw his numbers. People were saying last year, I think he finished like, you know, fifth or sixth for the Vezina Trophy, which people don't realize because the Predators barely, you know, snuck in. Well, they had that run there, but he was a huge part of why they just kind of snuck into the playoffs. So he's, I think he didn't go as high as I thought he would. I did grab him on one of my teams, but I'm glad about that because I think he's going to have a really good season. I was looking at the schedule. For me, the game that I'm watching tonight, Robbie, you'll be sleeping for 2 hours by now, 10:30 PM, Vegas at LA. I don't know if you guys talked about him. I hadn't heard him, but I drafted with my last pick in each of my league, Arthur Kaliev. And I think this guy could be a, I'm going to say it right here, could be a Calder finalist. I'm going to say it. I think he's that good. I think hopefully tonight he gets off on the right foot, but he was, I don't know what he was ranked like 900 or something or 300, whatever it was. And I was just kind of surprised because you figure the guy's going to make the team. And even if not, he would be a call up. He made the team. I'm looking forward to tonight. Let's get two goals or something tonight from Arthur Kaliev. Mark it down.
Well, he scored a goal in his first NHL game last year. So he's got some scoring pop. I am excited. We did talk about it last show. We talked about him and Kachev. We got a nice little soundbite on it. And you can find those soundbites, by the way, the highlights on NHL Fantasy Instagram and also Twitter. Definitely follow us there. Hit us up on whichever platform you prefer on there, either in the comments section or in DMs. But yeah, Kaliev, Vilardi, even though Quentin Byfield's injured to start the season, you got a surplus of talent in that middle six for the LA Kings. So I agree with you, Davey. I'm excited to watch that game. I'm excited to see if that Kings offense with Victor Arvidsson, Philip Deneau, Alexander Edler, you know, some high quality two-way players, you know, can they hang with a team like Vegas? So we'll get an early impression here tonight.
Well, Rob won't get one tonight. He'll get it in the morning.
I won't be up for that one either. Hey, we got a game five, you know, between the Dodgers and Giants that you got to focus on too. If you're a sports fan, I'm just looking like 5-6 years down the line. Maybe Arthur Kaliev turns into this incredible, spectacular player, and he becomes the captain, and then you can call him King Arthur. How about that, Danny? Like that? Okay. How about this? I'm a little worried because everyone's on this team, preseason hype, flying high. But something in my heart tells me that they're just going to be an absolute wagon and tank this year, similar to what Tampa did when they just ripped off a ton of points and wins. And then I'm going to follow this team and I'm going to put the lettuce down on this team early and often and just keep riding and riding and riding. They're going to win more than they lose. The Florida Panthers. Now, I don't know. They've disappointed us many, many times. And I've said many times previously, I'm done with this Florida Panthers team, but I think the ingredients are all there this year to just win. And tonight I'll take them against the Panthers. The price is high, but I'm still going to ride the Panthers early and often and just keep rolling that bet over and over, win or lose.
Well, firstly on the Kings, I think they're turning over Calvin Peterson is going to be the goalie, you know, Quick is going to be phased out. I think they realize they have a shot here. At, you know, again, they're one of the bottom teams, but if they can beat these bottom teams, they have a shot sneaking to the playoffs. But Bob, I agree with you on Florida. I think they might even make the Stanley Cup final this year. I really do. They got the tough matchup last year in the first round. Yes, they'll probably have to play Carolina or Tampa in the first round this year. It depends. Could be Toronto, Boston, I guess, whatever. But I was really impressed with them. They have what, four or five guys that can score, you know, 20 goals. We know about the top six. Spencer Knight, having him, you can just throw him in anytime you want, whether Bobrovsky's playing well or not. So I would not be surprised if they make the Cup final. I have them going to the conference final, but I think you're right. I think this is a year they win at least two rounds in the playoffs.
And when they've let us down in recent years, it's been, you know, it was not last year. Last year was really impressive. Like, they took Tampa to a great series, six games. They played great all year in the regular season. They finished higher than Tampa in the standings, even though they didn't have Ekblad for like the final 2 months of the season. So, yeah. And Florida added Sam Reinhart, who we like in DFS. This team is going to score a ton, whether Tippett's on the second line or Duclair is on the second line or Hornquist's on the second line or some young kid is on the second line. So really impressive group, offensively speaking. I'll coin the nickname Puck Line Panthers this year because I think tonight against the Penguins is a puck line play. And I think along the lines of what Bobby was saying, more nights than not, that team is going to cover the puck line, unless they're playing like the Lightning or something like that, or the Islanders or one of the other great teams in the East out there.
I'll let Robbie get in here, but I was going to say the same thing. And another thing you got to keep in mind with these professional teams, whether it's basketball or hockey, They're down in Florida, those Pittsburgh Penguins. They win the game against Tampa. The weather's beautiful. They're on the jet skis the next day. They're enjoying life. Now they got to go Sunrise, Florida, play the Panthers. Puck line Panthers, let's go. I like it early and often. Ride those Panthers, roll over those bets, and let's go.
I've got them in the Stanley Cup final against Vegas. Those were my preseason picks. I feel strongly, obviously, I'm bullish on Florida. I'm also very, very high on Vegas this season for multiple reasons. But look at the broadcast from TNT last night. You saw DraftKings banners popping up throughout the game with different odds. You can place them during the game. NHL announced yesterday that DraftKings signed a partnership with the league. It's a tremendous platform if you're not on it already, so I'll give a pop for DraftKings there. But secondly, and this is an important topic that I think, Bob, you just brought up, pay attention to the matchups. We're talking how good LA is here. They've got Vegas coming into the building tonight. So let's just, you know, reality check a little bit. Vegas is an established team. They're very dominant. So, okay, let's just not get too high here. I do like Kaliev. He's a stud. U.S. junior team. Okay, say no more. You know I'm stamp of approval there. But important thing here. When we look at the matchups, Pittsburgh Penguins, they scored 3 empty net goals against the Tampa Bay Lightning in their first game. I think John Cooper was riding the high of signing his new contract and decided to just yank the goalie over and over again. It's like, stop doing that. Okay, so the score definitely got inflated there. I'm not ready to say that Pittsburgh is going to defy all the odds again and somehow manage all these injuries, Petey, and ride off into the sunset with another cup and a gold medal for Crosby in the Olympics.
I still don't think they're going to make the playoffs. Plus 175 for them to miss the playoffs is a great number. And they're just going to have to play, I mean, a style without Crosby and Malkin. They're just going to have to grind games. And it's tough to do that on a nightly basis when you're playing teams like the Panthers. So I can't say it enough. Now watch, the score is going to be wacky tonight and the Panthers somehow are going to lose the game because I love the Panthers tonight. But you know what? It doesn't matter. Don't be deterred by that because just come back the next night and take the Panthers. And if you do that all season, you'll come out on top.
Any concerns goalie-wise? Robbie and I have Bobrovsky and Knight in one league and then I got Knight on his own in the other league. So Davey, like, do you think that Spencer Knight is going to be able, we're already happy to see this development for Sorokin that we mentioned earlier, but Spencer Knight is not going to start the opener. Is that any type of a concern for you, Davey?
It's not a concern for me. I feel like it's probably more of a, you know, it's more of a gesture where Quenneville says, we know we've got Bobrovsky locked up for what, 7 years, 10 million more. So we'll give him a start on opening night and then we'll let, you know, actually tonight, it should have been opening night with the K tonight is what it should have been. But instead, we'll have to wait before we see him play. I think he's going to actually end up with this season getting more starts than Bobrovsky. They realize he's the guy, you know, he's going to help them win opening night with a K.
I like it. That, Davey. I'm just going to say this. I could see the through the crystal ball, you could see Bobrovsky being pushed by Knight and Bobrovsky playing really well now. I know he's got the big money deal and he has not performed and everyone's a little down on him, but don't be surprised if Bobrovsky holds on to that net, similar to what Fleury did when Leonard was coming. Oh, you know, Leonard's behind me. And look at last year with Fleury. So put a bow on it, Peter. First time of the season. Robbie's got something. Go ahead, Robbie.
Just last comment here. I am in favor of a Bob bounce back this year. If you look at their forward support, Petey, line one, Verhaeghe, Barkov, Reinhardt, that's elite. Line two, Huberdeau, Bennett, Tippett. That's a Hall of Fame line. Vetrano, Lundell, Hornquist, incredible line. Joe Thornton, Louis Tererian, and Duclair as a fourth line. You have so much goal support there that even if Bob has a little bit of a shaky save percentage, you're going to get a lot of wins from that team. Their defense is actually stacked as well. And they're basically, they have like half the Finnish national team in Florida playing. It's like a preseason for the Olympics here for this team. So a lot of good chemistry there. I think you're going to see a dominant performance in game one.
And led by Quenneville. And the one little question mark I do have about the Panthers, especially if you're talking about Stanley Cup aspirations, Jumbo Joe on the team. The guy is completely cursed. I'm worried about that. Jumbo, I'd love to see Jumbo win one, but he goes to these teams and, you know, everyone starts talking Stanley Cup and then things, you know, the wheels fall off. So just beware of that.
Yeah, to be fair, Toronto was pretty bad before he arrived last season. I still don't think they'd won a playoff round. So I'm not going to blame that one on him, but how great would it be to see a Joe Sakic, Ray Bourque moment where Alexander Barkov gets the cup from Commissioner Bettman and just hands it off to Joe Thornton and he rides off into the Florida sunset.
That would be something else for sure. And definitely as you see the Sharks on the downturn, staggering lately, you look back into those couple of years, what was it, 2016 against the Penguins, 2019 against the Blues in the conference final. And I believe Thornton was on both of those teams, but yeah, it's
a lot of heartbreak.
It's tough to look back and say how close they came and now where they are with very little young talent. So yeah, unfortunate, but Thornton will definitely get another chance here. One other shout out I wanted to give Jesse Puljujärvi. How about him delivering last night? Played 20 minutes. I know the game went into OT and shootout, but scored a goal, 6 shots on goal, 2 hits. If you haven't added him already, he's up to 47% rostered, but playing with McDavid, certainly a must own. We'll give him that tag right now. And must play season long fantasy for sure. For top shelf fantasy hockey action this season, play Yahoo Fantasy Hockey. Yahoo makes it easy to play draft and manager league. Now you can up the draft day intensity with the new draft together feature. Remember, it's not too late to draft. If you're listening to this show for the first time and you feel like you're behind the eight ball a little bit, you're certainly not. You can draft weeks or even a couple of months into the season. So get your friends and family together, choose the best way to play fantasy hockey, play Yahoo Fantasy Hockey, an official season-long fantasy partner of the NHL. Great to be back with DraftKings again. Like Robbie said, we were partnered with them a few years ago. Excited to collaborate with them in the future, like we do with FanDuel. So again, for Bob Bender, Rob Reese, Davey Satriano, Pete Jensen, thanks for listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice. We'll touch base with you next time. Next Monday, Waiver Wire Week 2. Thanks for listening.